Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Healing Hour, and I'm your host, Minister Arthur Burgess III, and I'm so glad to be with you this evening. This is PKN, that is Purpose Kingdom Network, and we are on blogtalkradio.com. Listen, this is the 1,057th episode, and I need you guys to do me a favor. We're going to talk about something really epic. I've been doing a series about Jesus, God, and man, and we're exploring him as a man and exploring how his manliness and godliness can intertwine and how he lived before the cross. Because a lot of times we understand the perspective of Jesus from the cross and on, but we never really have an identity or form a relationship with who he was as a man. You know, the Bible tells us that we can be like Christ and we can live. And matter of fact, he tells us to be like him, to take up our cross like him. And if we don't identify with how he lived, if we can't identify with who he was as a man, how can we be like him? So we have to understand who Christ is, and that means we have to explore who he is and the relationship with the people who were with him. So we're going to get into a very exciting topic. I'm going to let you know what that topic is in a few seconds. I have a special guest, and his name is Pastor Jermaine Johnson. And before I get to him, as always, we have our motivational scripture. And lately, the last time I spoke with you guys, I used the motivational scripture from our PKN morning text. And every morning, I get a scripture, and it's pretty cool, you know, to get a scripture in the morning. I don't know about you, but I just, you know, find it refreshing to get a scripture in the morning. You know, it kind of starts my day. That's how I get going. The first thing I do is I read the scripture, then I'm able to kind of get moving throughout the day. And I got a scripture, Psalms 126, verse 3, and it's read in the NIV, and it says, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." Now, it begins to say, "It is good to know and observe how God delivers of the church and the way he has prepared. It says, "It is good to know and observe how God's deliverances of the church and the way he has prepared are for us, his children, and that we may rejoice in them regardless of what was or what may be. We have God who loves us unconditionally." So this is just a short thing that I get every morning. A little scripture and then a word of encouragement. Hey, it's good to know that God loves us conditionally. I don't know about you, but it made me so good to know that God is with me, and that I got a text that morning that says, "Hey, God is with you and he loves you unconditionally." Now, let's get to the word. Now, I'm going to bring on my guest, and my guest is Pastor Jermaine Johnson. Pastor, how are you, sir?
Oh, man, I'm doing good today. How are you?
I'm blessed, man. This is a good friend of mine. I always tease him because he acts like an old man, but he's like way younger than I am. And you know, he's way younger than me. You know, what you about 28, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's the new sister. He's a new pastor at Southwest SDA Church in Southwest Philadelphia. He's from St. Louis, comes to Philly, establishes a ministry here in Philly, and God has been using him, to really, shake some things up and really, do something new in the city. So I thank God that, he's been here, and we've kind of been connecting ever since you've been here and just forming relationships and building. And, real quick, I always ask people when I have a guest on the show, I say, share your testimony. What has God, just really done in your life that will bless somebody else? If you can real quick, just share a quick testimony.
Oh, man. I mean, I have so many of those, but I think, currently, I've been going through something that for me was like the most difficult thing I have ever faced in my life. And to be honest with you, I got to a place or to a point in my life where, I even stopped for a second to ask God, okay, God, what are you doing? Like, I preach sermons about you all the time. I tell people to have faith. I tell people to trust, believe in you, but you're not coming through for me, And I remember saying that to God, and I literally I remember him being silent when I said that.
Wow.
Like he didn't say anything to me, and I'm literally having a conversation with him, like I'm talking to you, and I'm just like, okay, God, if you're this great God, you need to do something. I've done everything you asked me to do. You need to do something. And he was like completely silent. But out of that, the testimony is this, is at the moment that I felt like giving up, it was at the very moment where God had began to like show his face. And that's when God like revealed to me something that I thought that was very important, which is I don't always have to speak for you to know that I'm there.
Wow.
And I thought that was amazing because the whole time, unbeknownst to me, God was moving me the entire time, and he was using people around me to be the light that I needed to see him. And so, to come out of that and to say, okay, God, I understand now, I'm now able to stand in the pulpit and stand in front of people and tell them, hey, I'm somebody who knows for sure that the same God that when I didn't see him in the dark, he's the same God that was still there the whole time working out, his situation for me.
Wow, you know what, man? So many times we find ourselves in a situation where we're wondering if God is listening. Is he hearing us? What is he doing? And the biggest lie is that church people say is you're not supposed to question God. No, God himself, he said, try me. He said, test me. So when you have questions, God is just waiting. I'm waiting for somebody to ask me a question. You may not like the answer, but he wants you to ask questions. He wants to let you know what he's thinking, and it's funny because, we have a lot of people who just won't ask God why, because they're aimlessly wandering. They won't just say, God, why am I dealing with this? Even if you don't take it away, just give me understanding. So, brother, I thank you. I appreciate you for just sharing that testimony. And we're going to get into the word because we have an interesting topic. I've been talking about Jesus and, him being a man, but him also being God, and his life as a man and his life as God in one. But we've also been pulling out relationships. Like I talked about his relationship with Mary and Joseph, and also, his relationship with the disciples. But today or this evening, I want to talk about his relationship with Peter. And, you know, I identify with Peter so much because Peter was this hothead who, you know, who was so-called, you know, not formally educated, but, you know, he was taught by Jesus himself, and he didn't have all the correct terms, and he, you know, but he was groomed to be one of the most prolific, you know, preachers of the beginning of Christianity. And, you know, we're just going to kind of test the waters just to see what we can dig up and how we can identify with Peter and his relationship with Jesus. But before I dig into that, I want to read Jeremiah 29:11. And this kind of goes with who I believe Peter to be. And it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And I always think about how Peter was so rough and raw, and he had so many different challenges, and, you know, God, Jesus always had to correct him and shape him and form him. But at the end, the expectation that God had on his life came to fruition. It wasn't in the beginning. It wasn't through the middle phases. It was at the end when he bumped his head, when he made all the crazy, silly mistakes, and he finally got it together at the end. So, you know, let's explore and let's kind of dig into, you know, some of these mistakes and some of these, real situations that he had with Jesus. Matter of fact, you know, Pastor, you know, I know that you're a big fan of Peter. What do you actually think about Peter as being one of, you know, the disciples? You know, how do you kind of correlate with him?
You know, to be honest with you, I think Peters are needed. You know,
yeah.
I really believe that. I believe, like, if you have friends around you and you don't have one Peter, you don't have friends. Like, you need
that's
at
true,
least
yeah.
one Peter in your circle. And I say that because when you look at Peter's character, to me, Peter has always shown his cards. You know, in poker, they say, never show your hand. You know,
right.
To me, Peter always showed you who he was from the very start. You know,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, when you look at Peter, he was very loving. You know, he was... to be honest, I think he loved Jesus a little too hard, you know. And I think you would get into that when you talk about, you know, when he goes for the man's ear. You know, that comes
right.
out of his love for Jesus, you
right.
know.
Right.
He was supportive. He protected the people around him. But what I really loved the most about Peter was Peter, in our day, will be considered to be a rebel, you know. And that was, I think, very important about Peter, because Peter was the type, you know, again, he's that type of friend, you know, you got to let them know before we get here, look, you can't do this. You know?
Yeah.
Because you never know
you
what
have
you're going to get.
You got to have a talk with Peter. You got
Yeah.
you got to have that
but,
talk. You know, you had that first
yeah.
talk. Before we get
And
this
that's
place.
What I love about him. I love that about him, but what I identify with him is simply this. I see myself in him just from the standpoint sometimes how what you do can often be misunderstood. Peter, in a lot of cases, was misunderstood, you know,
right.
and people misunderstood what he was doing. He meant well. And people misunderstood that. And I see that a lot, man, is that, you know, how you can love somebody so hard, you could, you know, you could be on somebody's team so hard, and then, you know, they go against you. And I think we
yeah.
all can identify with that. But I identify with that with Peter because I see Peter's heart, and I see Peter as being somebody that puts it all on the table. And I've been known to do that, man. It's hard for me to hide my feelings. I tend to say what I think, though I have a filter, but I tend to let people know where I stand and
praise
and
God
I identify
for the filter.
With
praise God for the filter. I'm still learning. I'm still practicing. Let's get to the word. All right. So, all right. We're going to talk about when Peter and Jesus first, you know, they got in contact, but they really just had a moment with each other. That's in Luke 5:4-6. And that's Luke 5:4-6. And it says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we had toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake." Now, here we are, Peter, a fisherman. He understood that it's best to fish at night because, you know, the fish aren't busy. It's best to fish at night. He said, "We've been messing, we've been toiling." He said, "Toiled. We've been messing with this thing all night. You know, we're going to use the right words. We've been playing with this thing all night, and we ain't catch nothing." And he said, "Nevertheless, if that's what you want me to do, I'm going to throw this thing out here one more time." Now, one of the things that I love about Peter is that he'll let you know, hey, this ain't working. Like, you know, we supposed to be doing this, but it ain't working. But because you told me to do it, I'll do it again. And you know, it's amazing to see how knowing what he has done has not worked or didn't work, you know, the first few times, because Jesus told him to do it again, you know, he was willing to go for it again. And a lot of us, you know, we've been doing something. We've been trying to, you know, go for something, or we've had a goal and we've been trying to meet the goal and we haven't done it yet. And I'm just curious, you know, to how many of us, when Jesus tells us to do it again, are willing to do it again. And Peter right here, he does it again. And he catches the biggest catch of his life, you know, and it's just it's so amazing to see how he didn't just doubt the opportunity to do it again. What you think about that, Pastor?
No, I think that's a very fair and accurate assessment of that situation. And I'm interested to see more of what you have to say about that, because I find that to be true about that situation in that moment, because I just find it to be interesting, you know, to cast your net, to be told to do something, you know, you already, how can I say this? Like you've already tried it, you know,
right.
And it doesn't work. So it's like, you think about our lives, like, to make it more personal. How many times have we tried something and it didn't work, you know?
Right.
And Jesus tells him literally, like, no, cast it again. That's pretty much all Jesus tells him to do. Jesus doesn't tell him to go to a new spot. He just tells him to throw it out again. And, you know, look at what happened. So I think that's the beauty of it, you know, that testing point, that what may not work for you will work for God. You just have to wait on his timing.
You know, here's the craziest part about that situation. One, not only was it the biggest catch ever, but the Bible says that the catch was so big that his nets began to break, and he had to call other people to help him bring in the fish. So not only was he blessed, but because of his obedience, people that were with him was blessed also. So his obedience trickled down to someone else. And I love the way you know, him just taking a chance, you know, not always going with the logical answer or the logical explanation. He just did it again by faith. You know, and that's one thing I love about Peter is, you know, his faith was pretty big. We're going to dig into him and faith because, you know, we've always associated Peter with lacking faith, was not having faith. But we're going to, you know, plug into some things because the next thing about this you know, this fish load, about this, you know, catching this fish is because after that, you know, Jesus says what to him? He says, you know, it was great that you caught those fish. He said, but now I want to make you fishers of men. He said, now cast down those very same nets that caught the biggest fish that you ever caught in your life and follow me. You know, Pastor, you know, if you can, just expound on, you know, what it means to really answer the call of Christ, even when you're at your highest peak, you know, if you can just expound for that for a little bit.
Wow. I think that's one of the most challenging things to do is to embrace and accept the call when God extends it to you. And I think it's challenging for a few things. One is, you know, you tell me, bro, what you think about this. I think it's uncomfortable.
That's the best word for it.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. You know, obviously it's something new, it's something different. But embracing the call and accepting the call means that you now accept the reality that you no longer have the control of your own life, you know.
Wow.
And I think that's for me. I can, you know, I can only speak for me. I think, and even some of the, you know, doing, you know, giving advice to other members, that's the most challenging part, is that you no longer have the control that you thought you had.
Right.
That somebody else, this God that you can't see, you know, he talks when he wants to talk, you know, he moves when he wants to move, you know. Now you have to take all that trust that you've been putting in yourself and you have to put it to this, and excuse my wording, but you have to put it towards this being that you don't see every day.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So
real quick, I'm gonna finish in there. I'm gonna cut you off. But real quick, you know, I always look at your story. You know, you were a pastor, you were assistant pastor in Maryland. And you were comfortable in Maryland.
Oh, I was loving it.
Like you were comfortable in Maryland, and you know, everything was going well, the ministry was going well, but then you came out of nowhere and God called you to Philadelphia, and it's been rocky coming here, but you answered a call that was inconvenience. I'm talking about like, you know, when we talked about you being in Maryland, you know, I saw the numbers. I saw the evangelism efforts. I saw the different moves that you were making. And then you give up a perfectly capable ministry and then come and try to set shop in Philly. Like, hey, can you please tell me about this project? Because, you know, for a lot of people, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, you. We're talking about a church that had over 2,500 people, you know, every weekend. Church,
wow.
An abundance, you know, of money. You know, we know as ministers of the gospel how rough it is to, you know, to even scrape some crumbs. You know,
but we're talking
about having a big budget. You know, when I first stepped into that position, I was given $50,000 for the ministry and was told, use this money to do nothing but outreach and evangelism.
Wow. You know,
so I'm comfortable. I'm loving it. I'm loving life. I love D.C. I love everything about it. My daughter is in one of the number one private, you know, Seventh-day Adventist Christian schools in the country, you know. We're loving it. We're complacent, And then I get this call that was just like, well, it's time to give up everything that you've known for the last 2.5 years and go somewhere foreign, you know, go somewhere where they don't have that budget anymore. Go somewhere where, you know, they're not family, you know, they're, you know, because the people in Maryland became family, you know. So God was asking me to do something that was completely uncomfortable. I was blinded. I just didn't know what to do. And the people were different.
Right.
So when I was talking to my friends, everybody was like, man, you stupid. You know, you shouldn't never left. You know, you shouldn't be leaving. Stay. You know, this, you know, church service is being broadcasted all over the place. You're getting so many speaking engagements, you know. Everything is happening.
Right.
And I got to leave all of that behind and become uncomfortable.
Right.
I have to even leave the place, you know, my own home. You know, like I had a, you know, a nice little apartment for my daughter and I. We were comfortable, and I got to leave all of that to now be uncomfortable. You know,
wow.
I'm staying with somebody to help with the transition, you know, so I can get into my own place. I'm, you know, I got to learn people all over again. I got to do that. I got to do this. It was, like, really uncomfortable, man. And even for a second, I even asked myself, did I make the right decision? You know? Should I have left what I've known for 2.5 years, really 3, should I have left that to come to this, you know, and to face the challenges that I faced? But God was like, yes, you do, because you were complacent where you were, you know. Yes, you're having all these people calling you to speak. You're doing all of this. You got this, and but what I'm trying to bring out of this situation is going to make you better than you ever been. And I think that was the important thing, was that what God was trying to do with the move to Philadelphia was God was trying to say, this is what I'm really trying to show you. This is what I'm really trying to do for you. You know, so here in Philadelphia, it may not be Maryland, but here you're going to meet the Arthurs. You're going to meet the, you know, these people. You're going to meet these people who are going to love you more than you've ever been loved. And there's, like, God looked down the line and he knew this thing that I'm going through was going to happen. So God was like, I need to put you around people who will be there to help you in the midst while you're going through what I'm allowing you to go through.
Wow. So I want to jump into another incident with Peter. And this is something that you showed me, you know. A lot of times you and I, we get a chance to talk into the, you know, talk in the kitchen. That's the meeting spot for everybody. I'm not, you know, if anybody has ever been to my house, you know, a lot of times most of the real conversations, they always happen in the kitchen. And that's kind of like for anybody who walks into my home. And we were talking about Peter, and we were talking about you know, him walking on water, and that is found in Matthew 14:22-31, and the scripture says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, He walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now, we were talking about this particular part, and you said something to me in the kitchen. Can you kind of, you know, dig into what you told me?
Yes. So we were talking about this whole, you know, Peter walking on the water. And to be honest, all my life, I've heard this story about Peter's faith being weak, and
right.
that is the result of him sinking. Like, I've
right.
heard that sermon like so many different times. Like, I could.
Oh, that's
it.
The go-to. That's
yeah.
the typical. You know, that's the pastor's handbook.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but when I looked at the text, man, I saw a few things. One, I saw, you know, the disciples were in a storm. Now, when we look at the disciples, there's 12 of them at this point. Still, there's still 12 of them. But out of 12 of them, at least 5 professional fishermen, you know. So they've been in situations like these before. They know the water. They know how to navigate the water. They've seen storms before. They know all of it. But
right.
like the text literally says that when they make it halfway to the point, so they're in the middle of the sea, a storm comes, and they're terrified, and they begin to cry out. You know, they're crying out. They're, you know, I imagine they're trying to figure their own way out, which is
right.
something that we typically do when storms come. We try to figure our own way out. But the Bible says that the storm comes, and I asked myself, why did the storm come? And this is what I saw, bro, that one, before we even get to Peter getting on the water, the storm came because Jesus allowed the storm to come. Like,
right.
imagine this. Jesus is the one who tells them to get into the boat and to go to the other side while he goes off in solitude, you know, to pray and to talk to God. He knew what was about to happen.
Right.
But he needed it to happen because the storm was about to teach them a valuable lesson. And that even reflects on us, that we go through our storms, not because God causes the storms, but because he allows it because of what
right.
he's trying to teach us in the midst of the storm. But the good part is this. One of them sees something in the middle of the night. It's in the middle of the night, in the middle of a storm. They see something walking on the water. It's an image of a man. And
right.
the text says that they say to each other, "Is this a ghost?"
Right.
Like, is this a ghost? And Peter, this is what I love about him. He says, "Well, Lord, if it's really you, you tell me to come." And that part blew me away because everybody else was like, it's a ghost. But Peter is like, I'm not really sure if it's you, but I'm going to believe that it's you. So if it's you, you tell me to come. And the text says that all Jesus says to him is come. And Peter gets out on the boat. He gets out of the boat, and he begins to walk on the water. Now, at this moment, it's something that changed the way I viewed this story completely, and I started to preach this story from a different perspective. And the perspective is this, that when Peter gets out on the water, you can focus on his lack of faith as much as you want to. Yes, he sinks, whatever. But while we're focusing on that, we forget the most important part of the story, which is even though Peter's faith may have been weak, his faith still was stronger than the other 11 disciples because he had the faith and the courage to get out of the boat. And behind him while he's walking on the water are 11 grown men still standing in the boat watching Peter
yes.
do something that has never been done before.
Wow.
So what this means is Peter literally experiences, though he sinks for a brief moment and Jesus pulls him back up, Peter experiences something in his life that the other 11 disciples would never experience. And the reason why is this. The boat represents three things: your comfort, your safety, and fear. So one, you're comfortable being where you are. Some of us have gotten so comfortable in the midst of our sins. Some of us have gotten comfortable with our life being a mess. Some of us have gotten comfortable doing the same thing over and over again and no results. Safety. We're comfortable in the boat because for some of us, the boat is our safety zone. The 11 disciples felt much more safe on the boat in the midst of the storm than they did on the water with Jesus.
Wow.
Peter felt safe getting out on the water, even though he really didn't know that was Jesus. He felt more safe in the middle of a storm in the dead of night on the water with a ghost that he thought, you know, than he felt being in the boat. And this is our issue because some of us, we feel safe where we are. We don't like the challenge.
Right.
We don't like to change. We don't like to grow.
I love the way you put the fact that we're comfortable even in a problem. So we'll take the storm on the boat than the storm in the water because we already know the storm in the boat. We already know this problem. I'm not going to go to what could be new, that what could be different, because I already know this problem. I'm comfortable with this problem. So it's just like when I was teaching Bible study, I said, I know what back pain feel like. Sometimes I'm tired of back pain. Just give me a shoulder ache. At least it's not my back again. like there are times where we'll deal with the devil we know because we're afraid to go out in the deep and find Jesus there. And it just blew my mind because when you said it, you said, you know, Peter might have had a little bit of faith, but he still had more faith than the other men that were on the boat. 11 grown men on this boat, and only one man went out there to have an encounter with Jesus that no one else will ever have. And here's what I'm going to say out of this. A lot of us has made a lot of mistakes. We have fallen. We have sank. We have, you know, been in a position where we have fell and Jesus had to pick us up. But are you willing to at least take the chance to sink? I mean, and then if you do fall, if you do fall short, if you do mess up, if you do make a sink, you know, fall short, understand that Jesus is there to catch you. You know, and he learned a lesson that they will never learn, that even when you mess up, Jesus is there to catch you. And I hope that someone is listening and understands that, yes, he had a little faith. Yes, he was not operating fully in faith, but Jesus took his faith and he taught him a lesson. And the lessons are bigger than the miracles. Because people think that walking on water was the biggest thing he ever could do. No, learning that he needed more faith was more important than him walking on water.
Yes. Yeah.
And if we get to a point where we're able to listen and learn from God instead of waiting for the next big thing. You know, the Bible talk, I remember the story of the Bible talking about how people who were ill they would wait for the water to trouble, and they would hope that the angels, because it was a myth that said the angels would come and touch the water, and if the water ever troubles and you get into the pool, then all of a sudden you're healed.
But
instead of talking to God and Jesus directly, we rather wait by the pool. We rather just sit there and hope that by chance Jesus comes, instead of going to him for ourselves. It doesn't make sense. If we have access to a God, why not utilize it? You know, I love the way, you know, you broke that down, because a lot of preachers, you know, they bypass that, and we always talk about how you need more faith and you know, and all this other stuff. And it's like, well, what about the other 11? What kind of faith did they have? You know, where were they? What did they learn?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, just Peter, you know, this, you know, running, this guy who just, you know, goes off by a whim, who thinks, you know, off the top of his head, no type of discretion, just went for it. And he got something that they could never get. So we're going to jump into some more things, and it's 9:40, and at 9:45 we're going to do the call of salvation. But I really want to get to a couple other things, and we're going to look at Matthew 16, 22-24. That's Matthew 16, 22-24, and this is really the buildup. This is where Jesus had talked to the disciples, and he had told them that he had to die on the cross, and he was getting them prepared to understand his crucifixion. And here comes Peter again. And that is Matthew 16:22-24, and it says, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.' But he turned and said unto Peter, 'Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.' Then Jesus said unto his disciples, 'If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Now, this is supposed to be Jesus' right-hand man. But at the moment where Peter tried to convince him not to die on the cross, when Peter was trying to convince him that this death wasn't necessary, he rebuked him. If you could, you know, what do you think happened here that Jesus, you know, called him Satan and told him, "Get behind me"? What happened here?
Man, I mean, if you had the answer for me, that would be amazing.
Okay, all right.
You know, I think we talked about this one night, and I remember when you said it to me, I was like, man, like, I've never stopped to think. And what's amazing is I consider myself to be, I try to preach sermons from different perspectives, but that was the first time I've ever heard it like that. Like,
all right,
you know, like, so you got to tell me.
All right, so let's break this down, because I was trying to put you in the spot, but you called me. All right, so. All right, I need you guys to think about this. The Bible says that Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says after the fast was over, the devil came and tempted him with the first thing. The first thing he came and tempted him was with stones. And he said, "If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And he said, and he said to the devil, he said, "Man should not live by bread alone." So then the next thing he did is he put him on, you know, the top of the peak of his mountain and said, "Hey, if you're the Son of God," he said, "call the angels and have the angels, you know, come get you." And he says, you know, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And then he showed him, you know, everything. He showed him the world, and he said, "All this can be yours if you bow to me." And he said he wasn't going to. He said he would only serve God. So at this moment, Jesus himself was in training. He was in training, and he's like, "Well, why was Jesus in training?" He was identifying what would look good was not always God. What looked good was not always God. So here he is, you know, Jesus being tempted by the devil again, even if Peter wasn't realizing what he was doing, even if Peter had no understanding of what he was doing, being used by the devil again, because Peter was saying, hey, don't take this cross. Don't do what God has called you to do. And immediately, here's what I said. I said, immediately, Peter resembled the stones. So Peter began to look like the circumstances he faced in the wilderness. Because once again, the devil was trying to deter him from his goal. So what Jesus said, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. And he said, if you really want to follow me, you'll do what I'm doing. He said, if you really want to be with me, if you really want to be connected to me, you'll do exactly what I'm doing. You'll pick up your cross too. And here, Peter, you know, was taught another lesson that they didn't learn, is that you can't deter anybody from completing what God called them to do, even if it hurts. And Peter was used to try to throw Jesus off course. So, you know, when he called him Satan, he was referring to him throwing him off his purpose. And Peter still ain't learned his lesson, because if we go down a little further, you know, we'll go to, down to Matthew 26:73-75, when the soldiers and the priests came to get Jesus, what does Peter do? Cut the guy's ear off. So he still ain't learned his lesson. And what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say to Peter at the end? In verse, Matthew 26, and we're going to go to we're going to look at what Jesus said to him. He says, hey, if this is the cup that my Father set for me, shouldn't I drink it? Jesus is trying to get Peter to understand that purpose hurts. The convenience of purpose doesn't exist. And he's trying to show him that if you're really going to be with me, you're not going to be comfortable. And what does Peter do next? He puts his sword away, because Jesus tells him to put his sword away. And then he has another moment. And Pastor, this is, you know, this is the part that everybody gets to. He has another moment where you know, Jesus is on the cross, and he starts, and people say, hey, aren't you the guy that was with them? And the Bible says he starts to swear and denies Jesus three times, just like Jesus told him he would. So he's denying Jesus. And the people who were saying, hey, aren't you with him? One of them says, you are, because your speech betrays you. And a lot of people thought that was a negative concept. No, that was the best thing that could have ever happened to Peter. Because Peter realized that no matter where he was, even in the worst, you know, the worst circumstance he could ever be in, and that's denying Jesus. He felt horrible. He didn't. The Bible says he went away bitterly. He felt so bad about himself. But even in that moment, he still couldn't get away from his relationship with Jesus, because he began to act and sound like him. So, I mean, he was cussing, still sounding like Jesus. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how you can cuss and sound like Jesus. but at that moment, he realized that his relationship with Jesus, he began to become a part of him. And no longer was Jesus with him, but he had to have Jesus in him. And there is a big difference. A lot of us go to church every weekend, Saturday or Sunday. We go to church and we'll have a moment with Jesus. And when we get finished having that moment, we'll leave and forget to put him in us. And Peter had to grow up. He had to mature and learn what it's like to have Jesus in him and not just with him. He had to transfer places. And Pastor, if you could take this, you know, we're shifting into a point where Peter had to learn those valuable lessons. He had to recall being on the water. He had to recall catching fish. He had to recall seeing the miracles. And then he had to recall understanding that Jesus' purpose was bigger than his convenience. If you could real quick, because we're about to do the call of salvation, if you could real quick just expound on the importance of purpose versus convenience.
Man, I think there's a big importance. And I would say this just to be really quick, man. You know, purpose is that you don't want to ever do anything just out of, as you said, the convenience and just okay. The heck of it. You know, what I love about purpose is purpose says so much more than that. It says, you know, this is how I see it. So God took me, an ordinary individual, somebody who didn't deserve half of the stuff that he has done for me. But he said that I'm gonna create a purpose for your life, and this purpose that I have for your life is gonna be beyond anything that you can ever imagine. Like I still don't know what that full scope of what that purpose is. But what I do know is that I can't risk doing something that's convenient for me above living out my purpose. And I want to say this, man. Yeah.
All right, real quick, I'm gonna bring you back in, but real quick, we have to jump into the call of salvation. We actually passed the 5-minute mark to do it. But right now, this is the most important part of the show, and I'm definitely going to have you say your last words. Possible we could be going into archives, so if you are listening, stay on the line or check out stay on the line and call in. I believe there was a caller. I would hope that caller would jump back on, please, and we would definitely hear from you. But right now is the call to salvation. And in this call to salvation, there's somebody who's listening. There's somebody who's been wrestling with convenience. You've been wrestling with, whether you should take the next step. Maybe you've made a lot of mistakes. Maybe you've fallen short. Maybe you are in a position where you feel as though, you know, you can come to God. Here's the coolest part about having a relationship with God. If you could have everything together, if you could, you know, fix it yourself, there would be no need for you to have a relationship with God. But now you have someone who knows you messed up, who knows you made the mistakes and you messed up the relationship, and he's willing to fix it for you. But all he's doing is asking you to connect with him, asking you to reconnect with him. And as simple as doing a few steps, all you have to do is acknowledge that you're a sinner. And when you acknowledge that you're a sinner, you know, you then say you want him to clean you up and you want to make him Lord of your life. And you accept him to your heart as your personal Savior. You recognize that he died on the cross for your sins. And not only did he die for your sins, but he rose for your sins, and he's coming back for you. And when you do that simple thing, you are a part of the body of Christ. There, you know, you may get this amazing, overwhelming feeling right now, but if you don't, this is not an emotional experience. This is a spiritual experience. And you may not feel as though fireworks went off, but heaven is throwing a party for you. The Bible says if one soul, you know, comes to Christ, heaven celebrates. So we're throwing a party. I'm excited because I believe that someone got saved on this evening. And right now we're going to pray real quick, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for anyone who is listening, for anyone who has decided to take your name and your position and your relationship and your reconnection, God, I pray that you begin to talk to them, that you come into their lives, that you touch them, that you form a relationship and you speak to them and you begin to touch those places that are weak and you allow them to see what you have for them. You show them purpose and give them the strength, give them the grace to get off the boat. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Go ahead, Pastor, back to your point.
Amen. No, I was just going to say this, man. I wanted to say this when we were talking about the whole being in the storm, but I have this saying is this: all living things grow, and all growing things change. So, if you're like listening to us right now, or maybe you're re-listening to this, and I want you to know if you're living, that you have to grow, and if you're growing, you have to change, because all of those things come with being a living, breathing creature. And the whole reality is that the storms come to not only grow us, but they come to create a change that comes from that growth. So the way that you went into the storm, you should never come out the same way that you were when you went in it. Kind of growth and lessons should have been learned. So Peter, through the storm and walking on the water and all of what Peter has been through, let's just take that. Peter not only grew, but Peter was able to change.
Wow.
And that's what set him apart from the 11.
Wow.
Is that, again,
Pastor,
Peter
we
experienced.
Have a caller. We have a caller on the line. Caller, are you with us? We thank you for coming back.
What up? I can't even believe that I waited all this time. This is good. Ooh, this is good. You did this on purpose. I didn't exactly even get this. I'm sorry. This is Adrian Misunderstandings Allen. And all I can say is thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I have been going through, seeing it, and I listen, now. I can be a Peter. They say I'm feisty. Look, I pressed the button first when y'all had called my name. I kept hearing somebody say misunderstood. And I'm thinking, what? Who is calling me? I said, you got to be out your mind. This was awesome, guys. Oh, bless God. You don't know who you touched. You don't know who. I know that you hit somebody because I'm telling you, the day you hit me, I've been going through, and I had my eyes on it. So I'm going to give you a different perspective real quick. When y'all was sitting here talking about it, and I know what I'm going through, what I said was, oh, my God. The second I took my eyes off of what God had me doing, and I was into what the people were saying and what I needed to do and how I needed to be better because we don't do it this way and we don't do it that way and we should do it this way, I realized that, oh, God, no wonder I feel like I'm sinking. So I wanted to press stop you because all I got to do is look back out. If I look back out, I'm back up here on the water, ain't I?
Right.
I just wanted to say this is really, really good. This is good. This is good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
have
you so
thank
much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. And we have another person that wants to come in.
We do have.
Is that another caller or is it Pastor?
No, we do have another caller that wants to come in, but we are about to enter into archive. So I just want to announce to all those listening in via live stream, you have exactly 60 seconds. You can call in to either 319-527-6091 or 320, now I can't remember the number, 320 Oh, gosh, we'll give you the other number in a second.
Yeah, let me help you out.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Amen.
The other number is 323-870-4174. Again, 323-870-4174. And I apologize for that little mishap, little brain fart that just took place. However, if you're listening to your live stream, you are going to be cut off in 60 seconds. So call in now as we enter into our archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/perfect. Reverend Art is back in your hands, and you do have another caller on the line.
All right, caller, how are you? God bless you.
Hey, how are you, Reverend Art? And thank you very much, Chaplain Pastor Toy. And I'm fine, thank you. You know, you're very intuitive, you and your partner there, and I love the way you introduce the word, because a lot of people don't have time to read the Bible as often as they want, you know, when they work. And a lot of people have heard stories, but it's nice to hear the persons who are sincere about it pass it by them again later in life so they can continue to maintain their faith and their encouragement that you all help to help them maintain. So I love the idea that you do interpret the Bible and, you know, all of what it brought to you and to all of us really over the years, so we can maintain being steadfast believers in God and Jesus Christ. So thank you so much. My name is Antonia Batts, and my show is called Peripheral Vision every Sunday, third Sunday in the month at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But I didn't call to just tell you that, but I just wanted to let you know it's wonderful to be able to hear the word from those from people like yourself. You're welcome.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And it's all God. God, can God be the glory. I do want to definitely acknowledge Pastor Jermaine Johnson for being with me. We talk all the time, but you know, it's another thing to know that we're reaching and we're teaching people. And I just want to point out this fact, and I want to say this real quick, and I'm gonna let Pastor go in, and I want him to finish his point, and then I'm gonna have a point, and we're gonna close. But you're not talking to, you know, older men who, you know, finally decided to give their life to Christ after they done did every crazy thing, after they did turn 50 and 60, now they're in the trenches. No, we've decided to give our life to Christ as young men, and we've decided to serve as young men because we understand the importance of the purpose and the will of God. And also, we're not just men out here preaching the gospel. We're doing the gospel. And I'm not trying to toot my horn, or I'm not trying to brag on myself, because we are men who are in the community, and we're fathers, and we're friends, and we're all these different things. But the reason why I'm making this point is because you don't have to wait to serve. Service does not have an age bracket. When I came to Christ, I was 11 years old in my bedroom, and then God from then has been using me ever since. And God has taken me places, and God has put me in places because I was willing to stand and serve. And no, I didn't have all the tools. I didn't have the proper education. I didn't have all the seminary. But what he did was he put me with the right people, and they began to teach me. And what I'm trying to do is encourage someone else, some other young person, woman, man, who says, you know, am I too young? And, you know, is it, you know, I'm not ready. No, if I can be honest with you, there's no such thing as ready. It's, are you willing? Because what God has for you, there's no such thing as ready. If you just have to be willing. And if there's someone on the line, because I believe there's someone listening right now who's a teenager, 16, 17, 18 years old, who has a call from the Lord and hear God's voice, but doesn't know what it means to hear God's voice. And if you are listening and you hear a word from the Lord and you hear God speaking to you, take a chance. Don't be convenient. Don't be comfortable. Get in the water. If you sink, Jesus got you.
go forward, take the call. Because I'm telling you, I refuse to wait to see what God has for me. And God, you're going to have to show me. And if I gotta get in the water and get wet, I don't care how many times I got wet, you just going to have to show me what's next. And I'm willing to take that chance. Pastor, you got it.
Man, I just want to say to somebody who's listening to this that it's okay. Simply, it's okay. I mean, I understand that what you're going through is difficult. I understand you feel like giving up. Understand that bills are piling up, kids are going crazy, your marriage is not so straight right now, but I want you to know it's okay. And the reason why it's okay is because we recognize that there's somebody else who has control over everything that you're going through. And so I just simply want you to know that no matter how dark it may be right now, it's okay. But you can never give up. Though you live in a world where your mothers, your fathers, so your friends, and so many other people, society has given up on us and given up on you, I want you to know that we serve a God who has never given up on you. So to that person that's struggling with suicidal thoughts, keep holding on, because God is about to change your situation around. As the songwriter says, he's turning it around for you. To that young man, young woman, that school is not going well, home life is not going well, maybe you've been abused, maybe there's somebody on the phone that's been used and abused, I want you to know God has you in the palm of his hand, and it's okay, because he's about to turn it around. But trust me, when God steps into the picture, he's going to change the story, and it's going to be better than you can ever imagine.
Wow. Thank you, sir. My last point, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Toy to come in on the phone. Because I do believe that she has something to say. I feel like she's been, you know, between that Pepsi and that notebook, something came out. But at this point, I just want to tell somebody that right now, don't be afraid to be different. And don't be afraid to be unique. In this last day, God says he's calling for his church. He's calling to present the church to himself. And he says his sheep know his voice. And I'm going to tell you this. His sheep look way different than what we see church as today. You know, his sheep are going to have tattoos on their face. His sheep are going to be ex-drug dealers. His sheep are going to be prostitutes. His sheep are going to be addicts. His sheep are going to be homosexual, lesbian, transgender. But the difference is his sheep are going to be willing to change. The reason why Peter was so great, it wasn't because he was, you know, so hot-headed. It wasn't because he was quick to act on his emotion. It's because every time Jesus showed him himself, he decided to change. He decided to make a change. So God's sheep are willing to change. And if you are willing to grow and you are willing to change, then you are with him and you are one of us. And here's what God is willing to do for you. He's willing to change your heart even when you can't change your appearance. He's willing to change your heart and your life even when you can't physically take off the scars of this life. And what he did was he promised, if you come to him, then when everything is said and done, that expected end is coming, and expected end is to be with him. So if you gotta sink, if you gotta fall, if you gotta mess up, if you gotta screw up sometimes, if you don't look like typical church, and let me say this, if the church, the building, not the body, if the church that exists, the building that exists right now is not willing to take those who don't look like the typical church folk, that new generation is going to walk right over you, and God is going to use them to preach this end time message. You better get on board and accept the fact that everybody ain't going to look like you, everybody ain't going to act like you, everybody ain't going to deliver the way you deliver, everybody's not going to take in your theological protocol. No, but God is going to train them, and he's going to teach them, and he's going to change their minds, and he's going to change their hearts to do the perfect will of God. And I'm telling you, get on board or get moved.
So right now, if you can pass the toy, if you can real quick, you know, come on and close us out, it would mean a lot to me. If you could get to
that. I thank you. I bless God. I'm sorry, y'all. God is so awesome. You know, I'm getting ready to date myself for a second. When I was a little girl, I used to come running in the house. See, y'all two may not understand this unless y'all saw a rerun of this show. But I used to come running in the house because my favorite show was this show called The A-Team. And the A-Team,
yeah, that was my favorite show, too.
The A-Team was this group of vigilante ex-soldiers who was running from the government that went around the world, and they just fixed problems for people. That's just what they did. And it always amazed me because they would be stuck in the smallest spot with nothing at all that they should be able to use to create a weapon, a vehicle, nothing. And they would be like, oh, well, we got a paperclip in the bottle, and there's some this right there, and if we mix that with this and put a hole in it, we can use this as a weapon to blow the door. And then you'd be sitting there like, wow. What is that? And, you know, and all they did was they went around, and out of no way, they made a way to help people.
Mm.
And in their doing this, they gave up so much. They gave up family, loved ones, the ability to ever be able to really, like, sit down and settle in and create a family, become a part of a community. But they were the A-team. And I was listening to you guys talk this evening, and you guys got to talking about the different apostles, and y'all started talking about my boy Peter. And, like, I love Peter because I'm a Peter. Like, for everybody, I don't know, I ain't never met nobody that could curse and sound like Jesus. Hello, here I go. If y'all done met me when I first started, here I go. I'm going to shame the devil and tell the truth. And I bless God for that Holy Spirit filter. Like, I still have to repent because sometimes I hear the thought, it's just the Holy Spirit to convict me real fast, and you never hear it. So I bless God for the filter. I'm going to be honest. I bless God for the Holy Spirit filter because if y'all ever heard with Toy Salt, so we bless God that it's Christ y'all here and not Toy because Toy ain't right. But Christ, Talim, through Christ Jesus, is everything, and it's not because I'm everything, it's because he is everything in me.
Right.
But I heard y'all talking about Peter, and I got to thinking about the A-team. When y'all started talking about how, you know, this walk ain't easy, and you got to give up a lot, and you're going to go through some difficult times, but God is always going to make a way. And I was like, yeah, the anointed team, that sounds just like the A-team. You know,
I'm still in that. I hope you know that.
Listen, go ahead. You can steal me. I done stole enough stuff from you. But it's like the A-team. You know, you find yourself in a fiery furnace, tied up, bound, and gagged, and out of nowhere, you're loose, walking around in the midst of the flames, and Jesus is walking with you. The A-team.
Wow.
You in a boat, caught in a storm. And he say, come. And you just jump out the boat. That's the A-team.
Wow.
All day long. It's awesome. It's awesome. The person next to you is dead. And you just look over and say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk.
Wow.
And they get up and walk. That's the A-team. The anointed team of God. I just love it. I bless God for y'all. I really do. Y'all explained so much to me about what I've been going through this past month that nobody knew I was going through it. And that's why I just bless God, because he is an on-time God, always with an on-time word for a right now situation. And don't nobody have to know what you're going through but you and God, and he will send that word to you. So I just bless God. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. We invite you to join back in with us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. I will be on the air with you tomorrow with an episode of Study for Life. I don't know which way God is going to lead us tomorrow, but I invite you to come back, join in the conversation, and let's just let God have his way. You can follow us, Purpose Kingdom Network, on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. And we're on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns to us directly at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to pray with you, and to pray for you. You can join us with our morning walks in God's Word on AnchorFM.com, where we just read a chapter of scripture in the morning before we get too caught up in our day. And we just ask that as you go through that day, you ask God to allow his word to grow in you, work in you, and work through you. Know that we love you with the love of Christ. Oh, I'm sorry, one more thing, and get ready for our end of the year revival. It will be coming up starting on Christmas evening, December 25th, and we will be going through until December 31st, bringing in the new year. Our theme this year is Watching for Jesus. You do not want to miss the anointed men and women of God who he will be sending before you. The lineups will be appearing on our social media sites very shortly. Again, we love you with the love of Christ, but more importantly, know that God loves you. Reverend Art, Pastor Johnson, wonderful word this evening. The ministry is back in your hands to close us out.
Amen. I just want to thank Pastor Johnson again for just sharing his gift, and we just just having a regular conversation about God. This is something that we always do. It's not preaching. This is a passion. It's what we love to do. It's what God put in us. And like I said before, I know that someone is feeling that same way. Don't wait. This isn't the time to wait. If you hear the call, answer the call. All right, let us pray real quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we know that the word went forth. We know that you went forth, God. God, so as the word went, God, the Holy Spirit moved too. You send your spirit to those who listen, to those who got something, to those who are dealing, for those who are in a storm, for those who are walking. God, you catch them. They may have sunk, God, but you catch them. They may have caught their biggest catch, and you're telling them to transition from their biggest moment to their next moment, God. You be with them. For those who are at the point in life where they have to do it again, and it's hard to do it again because they didn't play with this thing too long, and God, you're saying do it again. So, God, we ask that your grace go to them and that you strengthen them to do it again. And, God, there is someone right now who just isn't quite getting it, who like Peter, they're still cutting ears and they're still angry. God, you begin to show them peace and show them the bigger picture. And, God, I ask that you show us all what you have from us. And if you cannot show us, give us the strength to continue to walk. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Jesus bled.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.